5 feet tall, 184 pounds, and out of shape. That was Jennifer Chanthavong when in 2017, determined to take her life back, she walked into VFit Martial Arts of Arlington, Texas. Jennifer started taking kickboxing classes to get in shape, but soon found herself in the ring, fighting against some of the best up-and-coming martial artists that Texas had to offer. Throughout her journey, Jennifer has experienced the thrill of victory, as well as the agony of defeat. Along the way, she has built herself into a brand and is a source of pride for the Lao community that she represents. This story is one of inspiration, success, defeat, and most importantly, about forging your own path in life.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of C4 Southeast Asian Athlete Achievement Through Adversity podcast. My name is Coach Andetka. And before you forget, please give us a like, follow, and share. As you know, John and I, we started the LASHOF, Lao American Sports Hall of Fame, to bring about awareness of Lao athletes that have done well in, you know, in athletics. We don't really get to hear that a lot. Laos, and you know, it is known for like the country that got bombed the most, you know, got the most bombs during the Vietnam War. So we just want to bring awareness to that. Yes, we have some great athletes, and we have one on our show today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my partner, John.
Yeah. John. Thank you, everybody. Welcome back. We are really excited to be talking to Jennifer Saolau Chanthavong today. Jennifer, your story is truly one of inspiration. And it's just not about what you're doing in the ring. It's how you got there, what you had to overcome. And really what I like about it is how you decided to kind of take charge of your own life and forge a path. So we like to always start at the beginning, because I think, especially in your case, people need that context. So tell us about, you grew up in Texas, your parents were both from Laos, but I think came kind of at a younger age. But tell us about your childhood and growing up.
Sorry, it's like 95 degrees in Texas. Well, growing up in Texas, I lived in a small town, Grand Prairie, Texas, you know, living in before a very packed house at first, and then moving into a different place around Grand Prairie. Parents were super strict. You know, I hope I get the awareness that in Asian culture, the guys are more pampered than the girls, and the girls in the culture, in Laos cultures, have to like clean and cook and stuff like that. They're more strict with the girls, you know? And yeah, that's how I grew up, in a very strict household. You know, very male dominant household. So
I totally get that, as I am what some people would call a mama's boy, because I'm the youngest, and being a male, like I did get a lot of resistance when I told them I wanted to be a bodybuilder, but they still allowed it, right? And I get what you're saying. I totally get that. And that, you know, that's why you coming on, you know, going a female from, you know, that's Laotian, that's when, you know, that is an MMA, you know, kickboxer. That's why your story is so interesting. So. Oh,
thank you. Yeah. But it's very true. So, well, I just want to say, like, don't be afraid. Laotian women out there, don't be afraid to take risks. It opens a lot of opportunities and doors for you guys. So take that risk. So, and also represent both male and female in the Laotian community. Ooh, sorry, Todd.
Yeah, no problem. I know you were working out. Well then, so tell us a little bit about your teenage years before you got into martial arts, what your life was like, what you were doing.
In my teenage years, it's kind of a blur because it went by so fast. You know, I was trying to just get by, try to please my parents. I've had some rebellious stages, of course, but what teenager doesn't go through it? But I try to be as obedient as I could be. with my parents, you know. I did always stay home. I didn't really go out much. I'm a homebody now because of it, and I'm actually very blessed and thankful because I didn't party then, and I still don't party now. It's not one of my things. So I really appreciate my parents, you know, for being strict with me. So
can you give us a couple, one or two examples of you being rebellious?
Okay. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but one time I snuck out of the house to go see friends. So that was the only rebellious thing, and it wasn't a party. It was just like a chill cookout thing. So
you don't want to hear my stories. You do not.
That's for sure. Well, so you kind of had a strict but somewhat normalish teenage experience. How the heck did you get into martial arts and fighting? Tell us the story behind that.
Okay. So with that, it first started with I went through a bad relationship, of course, and I gained a lot of weight. And then after breaking my bad breakup, you know, I didn't know who I was. I was having an identity crisis and I wanted to lose some weight. I wasn't happy with myself. So the biggest step that I took was, you know, finding my gym where I'm at now, BeFit Martial Arts. I've been here for already 4 years and started to lose weight, shed some pounds, and, you know, my coach is seeing my progress. And then Muay Thai came into the picture. I told my coach I wanted to fight, but at first I was like, what am I thinking? You know, I just wanted to just work out and lose weight, but it transitioned into that, and that's how it came about. I was actually not expecting to be a fighter, so, but it happened.
I think that's great that, you know, people can relate to that, like, you know, having like a traumatic event, right? Losing someone or breaking up, and then instead of staying down, you got back up and you fought, and then you found your passion, or you found what you love. So that's a great that's something that needs to be heard, because sometimes people, you know, male or female, go through something terrible and get down on themselves and like never find a way out, and those are the sad ones, right? But for you to come out of that and to find your passion, what you're doing now, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like to dwell, and I really hope if anyone's ever feeling depressed or going through something, please like really look at the positive in life and mm-hmm. see what's out there. You know, I'm a very positive person, and for me to be sad or very broken down is so unlike me. I had to take that extra step, really, you know, reflect, you know, a lot of introspection on what I wanted to do in life, because at that time I was still young. I had an identity crisis. I didn't know what to do. I had no guidance, really. I was just stuck with always being obedient, you know, towards my parents. But I had to kind of figure things out, being obedient and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. I totally get identity crisis. You were born here in America, in Texas?
Yes.
I got you. So I was born in Laos and I came over when I was 4 years old. So my parents. I had no idea. I had no idea who I was for the longest time.
Yeah, well, that's incredible, Jennifer, because you show up to VFit Martial Arts. I think you were around 185 pounds, right, at that time. And in a rather short period of time, you get yourself back in shape. In 2018, you go into the Fury Kickboxing Tournament and you win a title. I mean, how did that feel and what did that do for you? You know,
it felt good. You know, it just showed me that hard work really does pay off. You know, persevering, even when you feel like giving up, just continue to push through. And, you know, it took a lot, but it's all about mindset at the end of it. And winning felt very good. It was just something that, you know, I surprised myself. And I think we needed everyone needs that push, and you will surprise yourself in the end. You will be happy with the results. Even if you aren't, you worked it. You worked through it, and it's a lesson learned. So,
can you tell us, like, go into detail a bit more about that first fight? Like how did you feel that day? Did you not sleep the night before? Nervous.
I was exhausted. I had bad anxiety, you know, like, you know, I had bad anxiety. I was coughing out. My eyes were tearing. I was like, I can't breathe. I cannot breathe. It's one of those things where you have stage fright. If you were to sing on the stage or act, you just have stage fright. It was like that right then and there. But eventually you get comfortable and you find, you know, you're more relaxed as you continue to do it, especially that first time. You know, you're like, oh, okay, I'm feeling it out. I feel good. I can do this. This is what I trained for. And it's one of the things where I'm so proud that I pushed through and I worked through it. So
that's awesome. Okay. Were you like, did you have like, was it like in your hometown? Did you have a bunch of friends and family come to you? That's awesome.
It was in my hometown. Is that adrenaline rush? I didn't think I needed, but I did.
To share a little bit of my experience, you know, like talk about stage fright. I had to, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, so I had to stand on stage. And like, when I got there, everybody looked so big. Everybody was big, and they had like, you know, they had their uniforms on or track suits. And I went in my sweats, you know, so I had no idea what to expect, right? I was like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? And then, you know, I got on stage and I did pretty well for my first contest. I took second runner, you know, first runner up, but it was still like, for me, the pressure of like, I had to go against my parents. I want to do this, right? And like, it was like, oh no. And I took second and I just felt like, you know what? They're going to say it. I told you so. They're going to say it. You're not good enough. And I felt horrible. So. But I'm glad you got a great experience from your first step, though. That's awesome.
No, but I was thinking the same thing, going through your experience, the pressure was on because you were taught in the household, well, I was, to be obedient, not never to disappoint, had to be a little bit more, you know, of an overachiever. And if you fell, you know, they would say something because they do a lot of things out of love, but they use a lot of negative reinforcement in Asian households. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all experience it. And after this fight, even before, I was like, what if I'm not good enough to continue this? But at the end of the day, you prove yourself wrong and you're doing this for you. And no one can tell you anything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, very good.
So I know you don't just walk into the ring. There's a process leading up to it, fight camp, all that. Tell us a little bit about what you go through to prepare for a fight.
Well, I make sure I listen to my coaches. But for one, I
your coach is watching, right?
Huh?
Because your coach is watching right now, right?
Yeah, he is watching.
We saw Robert just walk behind the camera there a minute ago. So.
Yes, he did. But listen to the coaches, but listening to the game plan. Breathing, learning how to breathe, relax. It's something I had to think about because I have really bad anxiety. You know, especially how I just told you about my first fight, I would breathe and just cough and my eyes get teary eyed. I had to learn as I got more into it, I learned to control it better. So I have a better mindset every time. So staying relaxed.
Like how many hours, can you tell us how many hours a day you would train? And were you also, I mean, you compete in a weight class, right? So you got to make weight, right? So I'm sure there's long hours in the gym and there's also a strict diet that you have to stick to.
Oh yeah. 2 hours in the gym, staying on a strict diet. I also have to, of course, stay in a calorie deficit to really cut that weight. And And this is where the mental happens. It really gets into your head because you're getting hungry. You got to push through though. And in my head, I love carbs. I love to eat bread.
Who doesn't, right?
I know. I love the sticky rice and everything. Oh, but I can't have that, you know.
That was the first thing I had to cut out was sticky rice. Like how am I going to do this?
It's the hardest thing, but you know, it pays off in the end. Thank God. But I really miss sticky rice. It's been a while still, because I want that hot girl summer. Yeah.
Well, so good. Well, one of the things that we also love about you, Jennifer, is, you know, you've built an incredible brand, which is an inspiration to many people. And you've gathered a huge following of the Lao community that loves you, that supports you, that's really excited to see what you're doing. So what's the future hold for you? What do you see? What's the road ahead bringing?
A lot of traveling, a lot of meeting new people, new fights in the future. And as I mentioned before, I do want to travel more in the future, take that extra step, that risk like I've done in the sport, and see the world and expand my knowledge of many things, like, you know, food and culture. I want to learn more about my culture because I've been so Americanized. I'm still learning as I go. I want to learn more about the history, more of my family. So that's what I'm still working on.
I got a couple questions. Actually, John and I are taking a, because John's wife is Lao, and I like, you know, may go back and visit. We're actually taking an online Laos class, which is pretty cool. So, but tell me, how did you get the name Sao? How did you get the nickname Sao Lao?
Well, you know, I hear it all the time. I see it in every Laos New Year. I see it on t-shirt, Sao Lao this and Sao Lao. I'm like,
because the fighting hamster just wouldn't work.
Oh my God. Stop it. Oh, okay.
What was that? Can you repeat that?
What did Robert say?
I said, because the fighting hamster just wasn't working very well.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
She loves hamsters.
Yeah, I think hamsters are cute. They're like adorable. I had some back in the day. Okay. Or the chinchilla. No.
I think your name, when I first saw your page, that was the first thing that stuck out. And yes, like you said, people say it a lot, but no one's ever branded it the way you have. And as a fighter, I think that's an awesome nickname. You know, because it's almost like it's contradicting. Because like Sao Lao, you're supposed to be like fragile and all
very
that stuff.
Proper,
and you're
going in, very prim and proper, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like in
the and, you, and you're going in to kick some ass, right? That's a cool part. No, it is. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I like Sao Lao because I see it everywhere. And you know, always having to wear the scene and sitting properly, being, you know, being a lady in the culture, being the... you know, meeting the beauty standards over there with a very fair skin and everything. You just have to be up to their standards. But breaking that has been kind of fun. There's cool. No rebellious side there.
It's always about breaking, you know, to me it was about breaking barriers. It was like, you know, again, the reason why my parents told me I couldn't do it because they hadn't seen anybody. There wasn't, like I had no idol or hero look up to, you know, besides Arnold. But like my dad would say, what do you have in common with Arnold? You know, he would like, you know how blunt, like, you got nothing in common with Arnold. He's like 6'5" and you're 5'2".
But one of the things that makes it so relatable, breaking those barriers, you know, you're afraid, but everyone is afraid. But once you break through it, everyone else can relate to you. But they were just too afraid to talk to anyone about it. And that's something I really love and appreciate, people coming up to me and then talking to me, messaging me about their personal experience in the Laos community, mm-hmm. how they grew up. And I'm able to talk with them about how I grew up too, and how we can, and it's something that we can connect on. Culturally, mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot from them and they're learning a lot from me. So it brings, breaking barriers brings a community of people together, and that's what I love. And I didn't know that until, you know, living through it right now. So,
yeah, and you'd be proud to hear that the SEA Games are going on right now, and Laos is there. And one of Laos's upcoming young lady fighters, her name is Di Sao Lao.
Oh my God.
I don't know the last name, so I don't know who was first, but We'd love to see.
I think she was first.
She was first. Okay, but I saw that and I love it. It's great. It helps connect the cultures from across the world. That we have our Sao Lao here, they've got theirs there. It brings everybody together for that. So, well, great. Well, Jennifer, so you know, there's a lot of people that are you 4 or 5 years ago, right? Not sure where to go with their lives, facing some challenges. What advice do you have for individuals like that might wanna find a new direction?
I would say surround yourself with great people who are positive. I know it's not easy. It really isn't, because it wasn't for me. It's a lot of, I mentioned before, a lot of self-reflection and introspection. And go out there when you're ready, or just be afraid and take that extra leap. Like, you don't know what opportunities it will get you. If you fail, then continue to do it. Someone's bound to accept you for who you are, or, you know, learn how to accept yourself before anything else. But really, it's been a mental journey. It's been a hell of a journey, actually. Woo! So
yeah, I definitely agree. I can understand the mental part of it. Like, I just thought, to me, I was just like, you're fighting. It's physical, right? Me, I lift weights. It's physical. I didn't realize how important the mental aspect was.
So. Yeah.
But I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, continue.
Oh, I was going to say, it's very brave of you to come and say that you had fear, but then you went and then you still did it. I think that's what people need to hear. You know, they need to hear, especially the Laotian youth coming up and like, hey, you know, it's okay to be afraid, but just keep working at it and believe in yourself and then all the right, you know, and all those positive things. Surround yourself with good people. That's huge. So.
Yeah. And I also want to let people know it's okay to have breakdowns. I have plenty of mental breakdowns too, because I'm just like, I'm always afraid of failure, or what if I'm not good enough? All these people, I don't want to disappoint everyone. But I realized, you know, you guys do believe in me, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for everyone that supported me. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. So go ahead. Self-reflect, everything's mental, have those breakdown moments, and then get back up. So
yeah. I know you had mentioned after your last fight that you were to come down into, was it the straw weight?
Mm-hmm. 105.
105. Yeah. So do you have a fight in mind, or are you just like kind of negotiating right now?
I was gonna have a fight soon, but I do want to go on 105 just to try it out and see how I feel, because everyone is taller at 115. I would be an atom weight going to 105. It's gonna be difficult, but you know, I've done pretty much the most difficult thing in my life, and I'm gonna strive for more challenges. So.
Yeah, that'll be great. 115 is incredibly competitive. There's just a lot of women in that size range, right? And a lot of them are tall, skinny, you know.
Yeah, and I'm 5'5", and that half does count.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be great strategy. And I know you have to think about the fights, but we'd love to see you fight in Chicago. I know there's been some discussions around that. So we'd be really excited. You have fans up here. If you do end up taking a fight up here, we'd love to see it for sure. So,
well, we'll keep you updated. So,
yeah. So speaking of that, how can people follow you and know when, you know, see the announcements about future fights and stuff?
I would say Facebook, the athletes page, Jennifer Sao Lao Chantabong. And I would say Instagram, Jennifer_Sao.
No,
Dot. Okay. He runs that page. Well, he runs both pages. So Jennifer.Sao.Lao.Chantabong. So that's Instagram. Yeah.
Awesome. Quick question. You said your last name and it clicked. Where is your family? Do you know where your family's from in Laos? Like Savanakhet, Vientiane? Where are your parents from?
Oh, My mom told me, she was like, it was right outside the, it's a small town outside the capital. I just forgot
what it was called. Okay. I should have asked that at the very beginning, but then like, then the thing you said, your last name is, you know, it's like, I forgot. I wanted to ask you that.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh, great. Well, Jennifer, I appreciate your time. Great having you on. We really appreciate it. You're still young. Your journey's really just getting started the way we see it in life. So we're excited to kind of keep in touch with you and hear where it goes from here.
All right. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. It was well worth the wait, right? And I know we had some scheduling things here and there, but it was well worth it.
We've all been busy. Life is always busy, so it happens.
Yeah. Well, awesome. All right, so I'm Coach Andetka. This is my guest, John Messina, with my co-host, John Messina, and our guest, Jennifer Sala, Chanta Wong. Thank you for listening to another episode of C4. Thank you.
The C4 podcast is brought to you by the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame. Visit us on the web at laoamericansports.com, celebrating the first, inspiring the next.